With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Advanced Analytics Podcast. I just did the name wrong. That's a bad start. My name is Guy Williams. What'd you say?
Well, when you're only 3 seconds in, you could just start again.
No, I can't start again. When I start rolling, you know it's party time. Joining me, that voice was my brother, a man who got banned from Reddit for 2 days. It's Paul Williams.
Good to be here. And I think my ban has just lifted. So
congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. I hope so.
Huge news, it's true.
And that other voice is a man who has bet $100 on Bam Adebayo winning the finals MVP. It's JT.
Hi, permanently banned from Reddit.
Really?
Are you?
Yeah, because I was a moderator on the Donald.
Is that a Donald Trump subreddit?
Do you not know about the Donald?
No.
Other Donald was like, so you know how Reddit actually is pretty, everyone bashes Reddit for being nothing but like privileged young men spouting trash, which is like true, outside of the Magic subreddit, obviously. But actually Reddit was pretty progressive, well not progressive, but pretty onto a whole lot of stuff. And they, Other Donald, and there was another QAnon one, was like the first outpost of 4chan, which was like real vitriolic trash on Reddit, and they just got rid of them all, just shut them all down.
Yeah, wow.
Nice.
Mm. So congrats, Reddit.
And JT was the admin of all those pages.
So I hate Reddit for that, obviously.
Free it's speech, time. Baby. It's what'd you say?
Free speech.
Free speech. It's time for a bit of NBA free speech. This podcast, I've already introduced it, it's Advanced Analytics. I am depressed.
Okay, wait, shall I give you my bombshell?
Well, okay, drop your bombshell. I was just admitting that I'm depressed, but you're dropping your bombshell.
But I wanted to drop this bombshell before you said anything. Damn. So I've left the game on the end of the third quarter to do this podcast, and I'm gonna try and go as long as possible, offering opinion that could be both valid if the Lakers won or lost.
Okay, this is mad. You literally extended when we recorded so you could watch the game, and you didn't manage to watch all of it.
Because I got suckered into the massive Tyler Hero highlights package at halftime. They're okay. Really been all out. Who won?
Lakers, I got bad won, news, mate. The Lakers won. It was a good game, though. I thought it was a good game.
Yeah, I thought it was really even.
No, you didn't see it, Paul. You
I
got
saw
any
three
thoughts?
Quarters.
Yeah, it was pretty tight the whole way.
A few key plays just down the stretch. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
KCP and Rondo came up big.
Well, KCP was good the whole game, so I can weigh in on that.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, man. He hit a big corner three and then a drive over Robinson. Robinson did a good contest, but
it annoyed me at the end, like how it seemed like the play people were like, the main play people cared about was when AD hit that three, but like it was done then. Like it was the big plays were Kentavious scoring 5 points in a row, and then I think that Rondo where he just drove in and just did a layup. That was it.
And then that three was done.
That was the exclamation mark.
I've got an observation that's really going to make Paul happy.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know I'm a huge LeBron head. I felt like LeBron, for the first time, I think he looked like past it this series, especially this game. Duncan Robinson got him real good a couple of times. Like, he's still good, but it's like the first time where he's clearly not the best. Not even on his own team, but perhaps like the third or fourth best.
Are you sure? I think he's easily the front runner for finals MVP.
No way.
I think, I'm with
Casey,
obviously.
I think he had two bad games.
And they, they might give it to him as like a legacy thing, but I also think there's times where he just subs out and they get better.
Agreed.
Like they move the ball around. And so often on offense, his offense is like this. Either he's got the ball and he's dribbling in and getting an and one, which is great, or he just stands and does nothing real far out and it's like 4-on-5 basically. Like he's often not involved. If he doesn't have the ball, he's just not involved.
Guys, he's basically walking to the finals. I mean, he's a triple-double machine. He is like spiritually and defensively like leading the team.
I wouldn't say defensively.
Yeah, strong disagree. Anthony Davis is the MVP.
Agreed.
Even after he just disappeared in game three.
He got fouled out. Foul trouble, basically. Not fouled out, but foul trouble, right? So,
cool.
Can't really blame him.
Okay, well...
And they lost.
What, pardon?
They lost.
Well, partly because AD was so poor, right?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. So it's the finals. Yeah. When he doesn't play well, they've got no chance.
I think LeBron's going to win the finals MVP, guys. And I think it's pretty clear cut that he is the finals MVP. Like, I don't really know where this is coming from.
The MVP goes Anthony Davis 1, KCP. Jimmy Butler. Yeah, KCP clearly is 2-3. Alex Caruso probably is 4.
Now, okay. I reckon if the Heat get one more, regardless of result,
Rondo?
Jimmy Butler.
No.
I'd love it. I hate the Jimmy Butler storyline.
No, wasn't Butler trash today, though? He just couldn't do shit.
They nearly won.
They lost by 10, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, you said it was very close.
His offense in the fourth just couldn't cut it. Lakers didn't guard him, and he can't shoot, and he got found out in the same way. To try and expose LeBron, but LeBron makes the outside shots, and Anthony
putting Davis on him was quite a masterstroke, I thought.
Yeah, it was.
I have a statement to make that I think JT's going to hate.
Oh no.
I kind of think I can see why Bam
Don't
is
say
on
it.
The court. They're defensively way better with him on, but in that third game. And I know AD was in foul trouble or whatever, but when they've got 4 shooters and Jimmy Butler, and they were just getting switches onto Jimmy Butler, and there was just no one in the paint, and he'd just dribble in and do a layup, how good do they look? Yeah, I was expecting more of that today, and it seemed like they didn't do it, and partly I blamed because Bam was back, and
They need to go Scooby-Doo, really get Kelly Olynyk out there, and it was
well, I just,
two,
I just,
two little
I was
Kelly
hoping.
Olynyk.
I was hoping in the stretch they were going to just go back to that because I assumed that was going to be like they were going to go back to it and we were going to see what the Lakers were going to do differently to kind of stop it. But then I felt like they just never went back to it.
But, Paul, I agree because you know that I love Bam, but I really, my first love is Maury Ball. And
I thought you were going to say Kelly Olynyk.
No, Kelly Olynyk, clearly. But I think that even when Bam was on, they were still... clearly, the intent was to, like, Maury ball it.
Yeah.
They were just...
So there was one spell where they went crazy small, right? And it was like... Like, they had, like... Maybe Jay Crowder was possibly on as, like, their biggest player. I think Crowder... So I love Jay Crowder. Always have.
No.
Temporarily fell out of love with him. So yeah, not always have, but
it's kind of bullshit how he's. It's kind of bullshit how he's whacking LeBron on the head, on every layup attempt now, and he's doing hard fouls to stop LeBron getting the and ones. LeBron normally gets the and one anyway.
He's not.
But Jay Crowder's got to stop doing that.
He needs to foul. You got to wrap them up. He's just soft fouls. He gives up so many and one. Like he's playing bad.
He literally in one play, as LeBron was going for the layup, he hit him. Like on the back of the head, kind of. It was quite funny, if you ask me. But also, like basketball suicide when you consider how many and ones LeBron gets. You know,
he played. I don't want to pile all the blame on Crowder, but he was so bad at boxing out. He gave up about 3 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, where he just didn't box out or just was just like getting out hustled. And then, he just gives up soft and ones. Like, he was bad, I thought. But anyway.
I hate Jay Crowder. I always have. I think he's real. He's like the ultimate fake tough guy.
No, he's the real tough guy. He bops LeBron in the back of the head when he's doing his and one layups.
He's like the guy that goes. He like goes to the Grizzlies and just really embodies. Like he just wants to embody that grit and grind mentality, which I really don't like.
But back to the idea of the Heat Maury balling it and just putting all shooters on the court. I feel like the Heat, because the way they're constructed, they are basically they play tough defense and good team defense, but they're punting defense a little bit when they have Robinson and Hero on the court, who they have to have on the court because without them they don't have enough offense. Right, they're really relying on like a 20-year-old white guy to run their offense, and down the fourth quarter it kind of proved that as the white guys were just kind of. Found wanting on a few key plays. I thought Robinson did some good contests, but he had back-to-back layups for KCP and Rondo, and kind of that's the game over, right?
That one shot by Hero where he shot it over the backboard was so bad. Yeah. In fairness, though, it was one where it was like possibly a foul. Like LeBron did get his hand quite a bit on the shot and then went nuts when he was like, I didn't touch it. I hit his hand. I didn't touch it. And then it was crazy for me that they'd use their review on that?
Don't you yeah,
think it was
the,
like
yeah, the
second
things,
quarter. It's like so yeah. often, it's sometimes it seems like the coaches are using their review just because
I think they're bad at pressure.
The player is so angry at the
wrong call. Vogel just does it. No, I think it's a good strategy. So he just gives it to LeBron. Yeah,
but then in the fourth quarter, like there was another one that they wanted to check or something. And or maybe third quarter or something, and they just don't have it in. And this one's like a foul or something, slightly more significant.
But yeah. It's kind of interesting because in the fourth quarter of the last game, we saw in the last series against the Celtics in Heat, we saw how important they were. And if you make a mistake with it in the fourth, you also give up a timeout, which can be quite costly as well. Like it's like, it's kind of an interesting one. The old challenge. Sorry, JT, interrupted you.
I was just going to say, I think that's actually one of Nick Nurse's masterstrokes, like as a coach, just really getting it out there, publicizing it, that he intentionally just calls them in the fourth quarter for an extra break. Because getting it out in the media also then stops any of the players trying to beg for it before the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's the yeah. Can I bring up that I'm just sick of seeing these coaches? This is the NBA Finals, and they're out there in skin tight, baggy, it's somehow tight on the upper body but baggy on the lower body, Nike dry fit,
exact opposite reaction,
turtleneck with like a zip top. That's just not acceptable. Why can't they get a suit for the finals or something?
Very acceptable. Exact opposite reaction. I've never bought Nike clothes before, and I have bought two quote slim line unisex polo since the NBA started.
Oh, no, but the guy wasn't even talking about the polos. He was talking about the Frank Vogel zipper.
Vogel's clothes are so bad. He's wearing some like shiny patent leather plastic Kobe's. It's horrific.
I quite like a polo, especially how it's like they're in Florida and they're like got these summer coaching looks. But I agree with Guy that I don't like the zip-up turtlenecks.
Well, you won't agree with this. The reason why the NBA Finals are getting record low ratings is because the whole presentation looks like Summer League. And what they should have done is taken my advice, had the players in suits. I reckon the reserves in suits too. Get Dion Waiters in a nice suit. And I reckon they should have painted the whole court gold.
Is that a real suggestion?
It's a strong idea. I genuinely thought they should have painted the court gold. Not the whole court. I thought like just the paint or something. Just something to symbolise that the finals are happening.
Well,
excitement.
They did it quite poorly. They just put a red trophy at one end and a blue at the other.
Disappointing.
I agree that they could have done a cooler court.
Golden court.
On the ratings, Christian, all ratings are down, and basically for every major sport, right? Except for baseball, which is complicated by the fact that it's regional ratings.
So for people who don't know, NBA finals ratings hit a record ratings low, down 60% from last year. And the facts you need to know are that it was the same for the NHL Stanley Cup finals. They were massively down. And also,
right-wing figures are claiming that it's because the NBA is too woke.
Yeah. So the what'd you say, JC?
Oh, I said that's what put me off. Because in the third quarter, I actually noticed what they had on the back of their shirts, and I was like, nope, not for me. We'll not be watching this anymore.
You'd watched the whole playoffs up till now, yep. And you just realized.
Yep.
And the one you saw was Iguodala's group economics.
Yeah, and I was like, great idea. I love economics, free market, baby.
For me, the single biggest contributing factor seems to be, from my limited Reddit-based research, is the fact that they're competing with the NFL, which is obviously the biggest sport in America, which just slams them in the ratings. So those are the two biggest factors, COVID and the NFL. But yeah,
I've also got a theory.
You go first.
Worldwide epidemic, whole of world, no one's got jobs. And even those of us with jobs are like, oh, okay, so the world is drastically different. I'm not going to have a job in a year. Probably puts like sports in a little bit of, what's the word? Not comparison. Perspective.
But doesn't that make it more popular because you need to escape?
No. I think the escapism has always been like a lie. I don't think escapism's ever real outside of going to games. So I've always thought there's a massive difference between, like in England, the experience and culture around going to games or even going to the pub versus a game versus watching fandom.
Okay. Because escapism's the only reason I do it, to get away from the horrors of my everyday life.
Yeah, fair enough.
Paul, what's your theory?
Well, it's not just my theory, but the team's always... also I think hurt like no yeah. like I think no Warriors, like there's so many people just like watching the Warriors.
I'd assume the Lakers are probably worldwide the most popular team, though. I assumed like everyone would bandwagon in for the Lakers.
Yeah, I guess, but I think it's not just like about it's just about like watchability, and yeah. I'd say the Lakers are not a great watch, and the Heat not, like, you know, your casuals don't know anything about the Heat. They don't know who Bam
also is. The Lakers are very hateable. Like, there's not only is there really no storyline because this team was basically assembled this year, but also there's a lot of people there that a lot of people just won't watch if you're a LeBron hater, or want to see Rondo and Dwight lift the trophy.
And no one's like been like, oh, I've just been dying to see my favorite player Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Anthony Davis is a bit of a twerp, I think, to be fair.
Yeah. We're all depressed about it. I've got to say, though, it's quite amazing, though, how in the period of us not doing a podcast, last couple of weeks we've been busy and stuff, we've gone from probably the best playoffs we've ever seen, those first few rounds, Nuggets, Heat, Raptors, Celtics, obviously unbelievable, to probably the worst terrible, like, Western Conference Finals, and now probably one of the worst NBA Finals I can remember.
Well, I think if you'll go back and actually check the tapes, I said this was a terrible playoffs. I called it ages ago. Check the tapes.
You did, but you called it when everyone was loving it.
Yeah, but that's because I knew it wasn't. I knew the basketball wasn't good. Nah, seriously, I knew the basketball wasn't good, but just we were saved by like an amazing Nuggets
competition,
Jazz series in that first round, and some even games. But like that, you look at, like, in isolation, when just looking at the results, that Thunder Rockets series is so exciting. I love that series. If I watched one of those games on replay years later, I'd be like, this is the worst basketball I've ever seen.
What about Raptors Celtics? Like, it was all amazing.
Raptors Celtics was good. So that I just feel like there's one series where I really thought this is awesome. It could go either way.
What about Nuggets coming back against the Clippers? It was unbelievable.
But that's just a choke job by the Clippers, and that's like some of the worst coaching I've ever seen. I'm sorry to say it to the Nuggets, and I'm a Nuggets head. I called the Nuggets, but they shouldn't have won that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It did kind of rob us of the Battle of LA, but to be fair, though, I don't think the Clippers would have done much better against the Lakers, the kind of depressing state they were in by the end of it. They were run ragged. It's really fascinating to me thinking of the bubble now, and we kind of, the two teams that have made the finals, not necessarily, I mean, I know the Lakers are one of the favorites, but not necessarily my top favorites to make it, but definitely two teams that like bounce back from COVID the fastest and the best.
But the Lakers were always the favorites, right? From preseason.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the favorites. I think Bucks and Celtics were in the conversation, but
oh god, remember the Bucks?
That was a team.
Wow,
but,
I forgot. But
about do you not think that part of the reason for the fall of the Bucks was just coming out of the not looking like the same team post COVID, and part of the reason for the rise of the Heat was just like really taking advantage of the break, coming back even better, kind of thing.
Yeah. So again, as you know, like I don't believe in chemistry and a lot of intangibles, but I do believe in like self-belief. And I think that everyone's saying the Buck, if you hear constantly, like the players will listen to stuff and what, you know, are on Instagram that, and they hear the whole season, they're just a regular season team. The moment they don't look good in the bubble, you'd start peaking. I mean, yeah. As in peaking out, not peaking.
Well, I thought there was a moment in today's game where I thought the pendulum was swinging a little bit. Third quarter, early fourth quarter, I was like, man, the Heat, a couple of big shots here, LeBron's yelling at Kuzma, this could swing. And the Lakers did just enough to I guess it started on the defensive end, like huge shout out to the defensive AD on Butler and LeBron on various players. But yeah, it was just the Lakers just got them at the end, and it's a real shame because 2-2 would have been so exciting.
It was quite bad luck when that a split second late that Bam had a bio shot, which would have just made it close again.
Yeah, that was a
horrible. It's waved away, and the Lakers score to like take it out from, you know, it went from like a 3-point game to like a 7-point game kind of thing.
That was a horrific position though, and it was really sad to see the way the Heat, like Butler kind of didn't want to shoot it, and he was getting given open looks by the defense, and just the two young guys were just a bit, it really showed how much they're missing Dragic when you're relying on a 20-year-old rookie to kind of drive the team in the fourth quarter. It was pretty dire out there.
Yeah. Is Hero cool, do you reckon, guys?
Good question.
I can't decide.
I don't mind him. I don't mind him. So I don't think he's that cool, but I don't think he's also unlikable.
So I would describe him as painfully uncool, but because he's so young, if you think of him as just like a 16-year-old living his dream, then he's awesome. Like, he's got a fur coat, he's got wavy glasses, he's probably got some Supreme Nike collaboration shoes, and he's just living his best life in Miami. So shout out to that. Like, I find that quite lovable, even if his fantasy is kind of being a little bit of a douche. You love to see it.
His fantasy is being JJ Redick 10 years ago.
What's the answer to that question, JT? Is he cool?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I actually think he is cool because I think he's, I think he's cool. I think he is cool, but I think you've nailed it. I think he's he is cool, but because he's not, he doesn't think he is.
Shout out to Mark Jackson for giving us the quote: "A hero is more than a sandwich."
Oh my god! I'm not a violent person, but I think I would headbutt Mark Jackson if I saw him.
if you said something like that in my park, you wouldn't go home.
I feel like the bigger question on here. No, that's the biggest question. Is he cool or not? That's a huge question that we're all asking every day. But my question is, because I've been a big Hero hater, right? Every series I've been like, he's going to fail. And besides game one of the finals, he's pretty much proven me wrong every game. It's been unbelievable, the pressure on that lad. But I will say this. Is he for real long term? Like, he's in a great system with the Heat. Oh,
He's not. I'm sorry. Was that too soon? Did you want to let up more? I just feel passionate.
I like it. You were a big Heat believer. What's your take?
Okay. I don't think he's as good a shooter as people think he is. And I don't think he's like that great creating his own shot. Again, I think he's like really good in a specific circumstance. I don't think he's elite at anything. I think he's above average at a couple of things. Not enough to be an all-star.
He's very fit. Like, he plays the whole game. And even the fourth quarter, he runs with a nice skip. I like his run.
He before the draft, I had him as I couldn't figure him out because people. I felt like people were racistly saying he was good at shooting because in college his like I remember like a lot of Magic people because basically for the last couple of drafts, Magic fans have been like just dying to get a 3-point shooting two guard basically, and so everyone loved Tyler Hero and was like, oh, him or Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I just remember looking at their stats and being like, man, none of these guys can shoot, these shooting guards. And so I've actually been pleasantly kind of surprised that he just somehow had a terrible season. And I can't even remember what his stats were, but I just remember in that year at Kentucky thinking he wasn't very good at 3-point shooting. So he's really surprised me because I basically had him as a bust. And, you know, I don't think he'll ever be a absolute top guy, obviously, but well, not obviously, but I think he'll be solid.
I see him as being a Clippers sixth man type player, like Jamal Crawford.
Exactly, he'll be a Terrence Ross with maybe a little more playmaking. But Terrence Ross is a great sixth man.
Okay, good,
but he's got no handle as well, which is quite shocking.
I thought his I didn't really notice his handle, but I do think that he, and it was my hope for the Heat in the finals. I mean, injuries kind of have changed everything, but my hope was that they would get a huge advantage from the bubble, where like not having to play in front of the pressure of 24,000 people in the stadium. And I do think he might have busted out earlier if he, you know, was in the Boston Garden playing in front of a huge crowd, you know?
Yeah, how much do you reckon is just like rampant confidence? Is how much do you reckon that's worth? Because I think it's actually worth a lot on the free agency market.
But heaps of NBA players have that though. Like there's tons of people, and that's how you get trained. Like Mark, I like how Mark Jackson loves pointing out that like even though he's having a bad game, he's still shooting in the fourth quarter. It's like every coach coaches that. If you're a shooter and you're open, you have to shoot. You can't. It doesn't matter that it's like this. What's the Michael Jordan quote? It doesn't matter that if you've missed 100 shots, you're a shooter. You still put it up. You know, like it's just actually if you missed 100 shots, probably don't shoot it. Michael Jordan, that's bad advice.
Was that in one game or? Because that's
yeah, it's one game. That was a Michael Jordan quote. I don't know why he said.
No, I know the quote, but I've just never thought of it like that.
I don't know if that quote's even right. I think I just made that quote up. Apologies to Michael Jordan and the Jordan Foundation.
What's the most shots anyone's ever put up in a game? Must be, what do you reckon, 50, 60?
Google it.
Okay.
And who do we reckon it would be?
Harden.
Okay, let's go modern era only. No old guys. Like, I've got to go. Oh, Kobe would have got a lot of fouls, though. Carmelo must be up there.
It's definitely got to be a modern player with the modern pace in a 140-point game. It's got to be Harden. And then second option would be Westbrook. Yeah.
Shout out to Westbrook for that $8,000 tip and then leaking it himself. What a hero.
Okay, so for people who don't know the news
hero
is that Westbrook...
Nailed it. I absolutely nailed it.
What was it?
It was Kobe Bryant, just like I said.
Oh, no. Sorry, was that in his last game, though?
No, okay, here comes. All-time field goal attempts leaders, per Basketball Reference, single game. Number one, Kobe. Number two, Michael. Number three, Kobe. Three tied with Chris Webber. Number five, Kobe. Number six, Kobe.
Wow.
Number seven, Westbrook. Number seven equal Kobe.
Some of those Laker years. Remember when it was like Kobe and Smush Parker and stuff?
Yeah.
And like so Kobe would have just been shooting every possession.
Well, Paul, you say that, and that's what I thought at first when I saw all those names. But these are the years from one down. 16, 02, 06, 08, 07. And then 12, 06, 03. It seems pretty consistent throughout his whole career.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That blows my mind that some of those 02, that's a championship year, isn't it?
You want to hear a real piping hot take?
What?
If Kobe Bryant was drafted today, he'd be little more than a six man.
Oh, wow. That's pretty crazy.
No one needs that sort of... Like, I don't think his game would be rewarded in today's NBA.
Don't you think, though, he would play differently and, you know, train different, yeah. different, you know? Like, what would Shaq do in today's NBA? Like, it would be weird.
I think if Shaq was in the NBA, like, it, things, you would just actually do what they talk about doing with Embiid in Philly. You just can't change the game around him.
If Shaq was in the NBA today, here's what you'd do. You'd sub in your team's Alex Caruso-style player to guard him and just fall over every time he takes a dribble, and you'd get 500 charges a game because NBA reffing is busted and they need to, in the offseason, learn that players flop. And also just to allow contact. Like, contact happens. Players are allowed to move their arm a little bit to create a little bit of space as long as it's reasonable, and... The reffing pisses me off. Anyway, sorry to bring that up. But there was a few in today's game. There was a few plays, especially Morris drawing that three, where it was like absolutely taking the piss. And like, they've got to fix that. Got to fix it.
Strong agree.
Should we segue into Premier League chat? Because like, I'm really. Should we just change this whole podcast into Premier League? That's got its own reffing problems with the handball rule. But like, how good is the Premier League right now, guys?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch. I play Fantasy Premier League and it annoys me.
I've started playing Fantasy Premier League as well, but I play, a different version to you. You play the traditional one where you can all have the same players. Is
yeah,
right?
It sucks. It's for babies.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no skill involved at all.
So I'm playing, I basically chose, because I'm the founder of my league, I chose the one closest to fantasy basketball. So it was a draft. Sadly, you couldn't auction draft. It was only Snake, which annoyed me. And you know, one person can own a player, and that's it. But then the thing is, it's like this weird points. So it's like each player gets awarded points based on a certain amount of things.
Which is crazy in soccer because there's so few stats, right?
Yeah. But well, that's kind of why they do it, because otherwise you would, you know, it would be like some like defenders would get nothing, like barely anything, because they're barely assisting or scoring goals, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing
can
is,
you get negative points for deflections and own goals and
stuff. Yeah, you can. I had a guy get a negative one. My team has been so bad so far. But the thing is, that's weird about it is like, I think fantasy football, I know maybe it's getting bigger each year, but I feel like it's surely been around for a few years. The lack of stats is crazy. Like, there's no good websites. I even posted on the fantasy football Reddit and was like, where can I just get the stats of, because it's points based, last season, just everyone's points. I just want to be able to click on that column and get them all in order. This player scored the most points last year. And it just doesn't exist anywhere. You can't see anyone's last year's points.
Yeah,
is that not crazy?
That's
but
very
like,
crazy.
What's more interesting to me? Well, because fantasy soccer still isn't like a huge thing. What's more crazy is like how little analytics is openly talked about in football in general. I think is quite weird. Like, sure. I mean, I know it's hard, but like, I don't know. Like, distance covered.
I think.
This men is beaten, passes,
I think
passing.
Basketball is so far ahead of other sports in that regard. Like, I always think anytime I occasionally catch a New Zealand Warriors rugby league game, it just never seems like, to me, I'm like, I just want to see the stats. I try and Google it. I can't see. I just want to see, like, on a last tackle, what, surely there's one thing that's like better than the others. And for me, it should be an up and under into the in-goal area, have a guy run in and jump up and try and catch it and score a try. But they're always like trying this other stuff.
Also, why don't they just hire like a 7-footer, like failed basketball player to catch those up and unders, eh?
Put them on the wing. It just makes so much sense, but it's like that stat isn't on the online. Do teams have these stats about what's the,
but
you know,
isn't the big issue that, with basketball and baseball, you have a huge volume of repeated actions and limited variables. I read an article on Guardian about just what you're saying, Guy, how slow football's been to embrace analytics. But I also think for some stuff, like, so say that you zero in on a player who attempts a dribble and he gets tackled, but you'd go, oh, well, that guy, the guy who tackled him is actually an expert tackler, so that doesn't quite count the same as losing the ball to a bad tackler. But yeah, there are so but you can't really view that in isolation of what was the game plan, what were his options, whereas in basketball, you know that you're shooting within 3 feet versus a late clock shot. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I acknowledge that it is way harder, but I'm sure the actual teams do advanced analytics. We just don't
I always want to do a stat, and it's not really, you can't even really call it a stat because it does involve sort of it's not all solid fact. But like, I've always thought about it for basketball as well. I think I was going to do it once for like a whole Magic game, but basically it's very time consuming where you go through and it's like a score. I remember like developing it once for basketball and it was like a score based system where it was like, you go through and like you have to watch every little thing and basically you award the points on. So like every time they score, you look at it and you say like, well, why did they score? And, you know, sometimes it'll just be like, that was no one's fault. It was a good defense. He just hit a tough fadeaway. But then so often it's like, no, he didn't rotate. And then that guy was open. So that's, you know, Evan Fournier's fault, whatever. He gets a -3, a -2 or whatever. And then so they're left with an end score. And obviously it's time consuming, but worth it, I reckon.
Okay.
And great for football.
Amen.
Two football things I want to bring up briefly might not interest basketball fans, but they blow mine. First, did you guys know that Liverpool has a specialist throw-in coach?
Wow.
I believe it.
They were mocked last year for hiring this guy. It's like a weird German guy or Spanish guy or something, who all he does is coach and focus on the team throwing the ball into the field of play.
Mm. This is crazy. Exactly like my dream to be the coach of... assistant coach of an NBA team whose only job is to try and get them to get the last shot.
Yeah. It's just, it does kind of make sense. And you think like NBA teams or players will have free throw coaches. There'd definitely be in football, there'd be set piece coaches. So why not have a throw in coach? But I'm just like interested in like, what's the most niche part of sports that you could be like the coach of? Like, could you be an NBA charge coach or an NBA bench atmosphere and vibe coach, you know?
I'd be all about the good vibes if that was an option.
Yeah, I think that should be like more of a thing. Like, I know they do occasionally talk about like, oh, he's a great locker room guy. Mm. But like, I think it is really important. Like, just to have some guys who are just great vibe. Vibe. Like, they can be terrible at basketball. Like, they literally, like, just get, like, I wouldn't be mad if a team just had Kevin Hart on the roster and he was like, and they all just loved him and he just brought a great vibe.
I think Kevin Hart's got a real Dwight vibe. Like, I think he's got Dwight upside in terms
Dwight, locker room. Kevin Hart's not cool, but Paul was just using an analogy of a guy that NBA players would like.
Yeah.
Paul, what are you trying to, hang on, what are you trying to say about NBA players?
They love Kevin Hart.
Yeah, they do quite like Kevin Hart, it seems, based on his appearances at every All-Star game and being the only celebrity there, because they're like, what celebs do you want at the All-Star game? And they all say Kevin Hart, and no one says anyone else, so they don't get anyone else. Oh, a couple of the white guys say white guy from Arcadia Fire.
My personal friend.
Is he?
Yeah, I do not know this story. No, yeah. We had a full interaction.
I vaguely remember it.
It's a great story, but I won't tell it again.
I'll have to go back and find that episode.
The coach you described for Vibe Coach is that's how people are describing Doc Rivers, who has great success with underdog teams, you know, like the Clippers 2 years ago, and then seems to have big problems now with playoff contenders, kind of lacking the X and O's department, but being really good at like bringing the time to get the team together. He's like a leader for like a lot of big issues. He helped the Clippers through the Donald Sterling thing. Like,
he was quoted today in a Joe Biden speech.
Wow. Doc Rivers was.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. And people were saying it was Joe Biden's best speech.
You think he'd coach, he would quote a coach Rivers. Who is is not like in the doghouse right now. Although the Clippers,
have, yeah, he just got a new job. He's on cloud
he's
nine.
He's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's pretty funny to take the shit show team of 2020 and the shit show coach of 2020 and combine them together to make kind of like a circus of shit shows.
Is this Philly?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, like he's.
I saw an interesting quote that Doc Rivers said. There's only one Doc in Philly. Call me Glenn. And so, like, he might be going by Glenn Rivers now. Because there's a Dr. J. At first, I was like, who's the other Doc who works for the 76ers? I was like, well, I couldn't figure it out.
And then
I realized.
Yeah, shout to Doc Rivers.
I think it's that time, right about that time.
Wow.
For the Stars to roll on out.
Sit down. I used to be jealous of Mary Apollo.
You're taking every game personal? I'm not Alfred.
Sit down.
Wow. You're bad.
Okay, first things first. I took a dive into the Magic social media world.
I was about to do the joke. Sorry, I was about to do the joke first things first, and I was about to say I'm the realist. It would have been a great joke. And I was like, what song am I quoting there? And then I realized I was quoting the Australian rapper Iggy Azalea, and the line was, first things first, I'm the realist. She was a white Australian woman rapping in a black African-American voice in a style that
very
she stole
weird.
Off some 90s rapper. Like, she's literally, like, there's I like Iggy Azalea. I don't even hate her, but she's not the realist. She's a long way from the realist.
She was involved heavily in an NBA storyline of getting engaged to Swaggy P, Nick Young, and then leaving him when D'Angelo Russell accidentally leaked a video of him admitting to cheating on her.
Did he accidentally leak it? I thought he
leaked. Well, you guys think he intentionally leaked it?
Yeah.
I assumed it is interesting because, like, how does it get off your phone?
Yeah.
It made life hard for D'Angelo Russell. Like, there was no benefit for him, was there? Other than helping out Iggy Azalea get out of being married to Swaggy P.
Bullet dodged. Although, to be fair, Swaggy P also got out of being married to Iggy Azalea. So it's kind of a best. He really made the world a better place. Like, it was good for everyone. I reckon he sent it to his friends and then a friend leaked it to TMZ for a few grand, right?
But yeah. How can we celebrate whistleblowers in the corporate environment, but not in the marriage world?
good point. Very good point.
But back to social media, the big tweet this week from the Magic was Evan Fournier, who retweeted Donald Trump announcing he had COVID and said, "Time to try that disinfectant, buddy." And which I really liked.
And the word buddy is like such an awful word when it's not genuine as well. Oh.
Yeah. And then he tweeted again, "Read the comments, guys. Trump supporters aren't happy at all." And it did reveal, sadly, you were talking about how earlier, JT, you mentioned how nice Magic Reddit is. A few Trump supporters did rear their heads after this tweet from Fournier, and someone posted the tweet and said, "I now have a new respect for Evan Fournier." And I scrolled down, and there were a few comments at the bottom with a lot of downvotes that I read, and one was, "He's a effing bum, and I want him gone as soon as possible."
Wow.
And so I said, "As does anyone with half a brain. Vote him out." But the guy was talking about Evan Fournier and then tried to retort with, "Too bad we can't vote Evan off the team." I didn't reply to that. I thought that didn't warrant.
Get out of there. Get in. Get out.
Comeback.
Meanwhile, so Aaron Gordon retweeted the disinfectant tweet, which I thought was quite cool. And meanwhile, I checked Vucevic to see if he had as well. And he tweeted, "Is saltwater taffy good? Just saw the Friends episode where Ross is eating some and wondering if I should try it."
Oh, my God.
But shout out to Vucevic, who had a baby.
Oh, congrats, Vuce.
About a week ago, I think. Yeah. So that's really the end of Magic Mayhem. I'm going Player of the Week to Fournier for a pretty crack-up tweet. Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, I have a trade idea, but...
Question for you, Paul. Who do you think is the most right-wing of the Magic players? Like, who do you think would be the most like Trump guy?
Well, I'd say by default, you'd want to say Jonathan Isaac, just because...
Abortion.
Not kneeling during the anthem.
He'd be big into his judges.
Yeah. That would be my guess.
Great guess.
Did you have another answer or?
No, I don't. I think that I do think that Markel Fultz would be quite easily swayed by Trump's like grind mentality.
Yeah, well, I was going to say he only really supports one thing, and that's being faithful to the grind.
Does Trump grind though? Like, he's massively out of shape. He's famous for playing golf. He doesn't pay his taxes. Like, what part of that is grinding?
I don't see Markel at all. Markel to me he's just so kind. Yeah, such a sweet guy at heart that I just can't see it.
But Trump's always grinding. Have you seen all this? But he's bloody on and getting treated for COVID, and he's still signing all those blank bits of paper. He's not going to let those.
He's not going to let that
blank that pile of blank papers just keep piling up. No way, not on his watch.
He honestly, I was about to say about 5 minutes ago, I had to catch myself from going, "Man, America's crazy," and then I realized that's like obviously, and it's been crazy for a long time now. But like, it is amazing how like every day they manage to like up the ante. Like, just when you think like things might go normal, or maybe Trump will go to hospital and be quiet for a few days, and everyone will kind of come together to support the president. But no, the craziness just every day it's just like a nonstop, just absolute wall to wall shit show, and it's so amazing. It's just it blows my it's. I can't even be mad anymore. I'm just shocked. Amazing. Agreed. Anyway, good luck for the election, America. Scary to watch.
And just a quick magic trade idea. Rumors have it that Oladipo and Miles Turner want out of Indiana. I mean, I'd love to see Oladipo come back, but he's a bit of an injury concern. But Miles Turner to Orlando, get him here ASAP.
No, I thought Oladipo, bro, like... That'd be pretty special. Like that's what they need.
Oh,
like
it'd be incredible. No, but I'm especially keen on Miles Turner. Just it seems like Pacers fans are kind of sick of him. Like I went on the Reddit always just to peruse like fan stance, and they say he's just inconsistent. But a guy who blocks shots and can shoot threes, sign me up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird the Pacers have fallen apart because they seem like such a lovable, like, you know, Heat style, build the team from the ground up, slowly working towards that chip style vibe. And then they're just self-destructed in one off season. Like, it's weird.
I think the coach has got to, like, judging again on online Pacers fans, the coach, they already fired him maybe, did they?
They fired him straight away.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Which is crazy because I think it was like the fastest time in NBA history between signing, like extending a coach or whatever. Like, they signed to a new contract like before the playoffs and then fired him after the playoffs. It was batshit.
Do any of you guys have an Athletic subscription to The Athletic?
I have one accidentally.
Because there is an article, man, I want to read it. So I saw it because Vucevic retweeted it, and it says, so Vucevic retweeted, the article is called it was a crazy night. How the Balkan boys bonded in the NBA bubble. And man, I want to read it. It's blocked, but yeah, it opens just setting the scene for their crazy night. Amid the uncertainty of the season's resumption, following a tense players-led meeting, a group of players, the Balkan boys, as they later called themselves, went to dinner at the outdoor patio at the Three Badges Bar and Grill at Villa del Lago at 8 p.m. It was a crazy night full of emotions, the Heat's Goran Dragic told The Athletic.
This is the weirdest story.
What was so crazy about it? What's so crazy?
I don't know.
Also, the crazy thing was that the black players were like out there thinking of walking off their million-dollar jobs because of like injustice, and these guys went to get a burger.
Yeah, no, he does say we didn't know how the next day was going to turn out. But they also said they turned the restaurant into a club.
I now know what happened, and it's not good.
Wait, you've just read it?
No, can you? I think I can. Look, I don't want to make any aspersions about Europeans, but I've got a real strong image in my head of what happened that night.
They put on some bedazzled jeans and started jamming out to some Bass Hunter.
That's right.
Now you're gone. Absolute tune.
Bass Hunter has some jams, eh? Like, bring him back.
Bass Hunter's songs are that, like, he was just the nerdiest musician there's ever been, in terms of, like, pop music at least. Like, his songs, the English translations, I assume they were written for him, like, they changed the lyrics. But the original lyrics were like, I'm sitting in my bedroom, playing on the Dota. Like, what is Dota? It's like World of Warcraft or something.
JT will know.
Yeah, that's
Dota. I don't know. Sorry, I wish I did.
Dota was
it's like something. Like
I looked into it at the time. It was like I think it was World of Warcraft expansion of some description.
Mm. Like online, all his songs were about just playing World of Warcraft in his bedroom, and then they changed them to be like love songs.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really
goes hard.
I've always had a real problem with Bass Hunter, and that's the idea that he was hunting bass. When in fact he was producing bass. He was entrapping people with the bass.
Yeah. No, he would travel the world hunting bass, capturing it, and then releasing it back into the world in the form of beautiful music.
But you don't call a fisherman a worm hunter, right? The fisherman just gets the worm to bait the hook.
Yeah, it's true.
He's a people hunter.
Also, his songs weren't even that bassy, were they? Like,
he was a bass farmer.
Yeah, exactly. Or a bass monger.
Bass monger. I think that's the name of this episode. If I get to title it, if Guy gets to title it, then it's going to be NBA Finals with 100 exclamation marks. Crazy games with 100 more exclamation marks.
It's called clickbait, and it's how we get them ratings. Thank you so much to everyone. Oh, I'm assuming we're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Paul, you done?
I don't think I have anything else.
We're sorry we haven't potted in a while. We're working on me and Paul shooting a new TV show of Paul's called Taskmaster New Zealand, which is coming out in a couple of weeks now, which is bloody exciting.
So we've been
busy. Yeah, it's really cool. But sorry, we haven't been potting. We'll have to do
You got to watch every episode so we get to do another season. Well, I get to do another season. Guy wouldn't be in that one.
Oh, what?
Well, how many seasons till I get on an episode? I'm still
If it gets another season, you can be on it for sure.
Thanks, mate. Have you got those sort of? You can make those sort of decisions. Just want to check.
Okay.
I reckon you can. I'll quit my job.
You'd be a good Taskmaster contestant, JT. I reckon you'd nail it. Don't quit your job yet, but in the future.
That's good because my main job's base hunting, so that's quite lucrative anyway.
I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that anymore. But I've always been a big fan of bass monger.
JT, sign out.
Yeah. Paul stole my gag, so yeah. Don't really have.
If only we wrote these gags about 15 years ago when Bass Hunter was the thing. Like, most people listening won't even know what Bass Hunter is. Google it. Enjoy.
Well, they should just leave.
Hunt that bass. Catch you later. Goodbye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.